Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
And happy Friday, everyone. A football Friday. Like I said, I'm going to keep saying it as long as we can actually show it on the football field. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. For more information, you can go to their website, gogginkohl.com. We'll be with you until 6:30 tonight, when we turn things over to Memphis Grizzlies basketball. We'll talk more about that coming up in the show. Jam-packed show, but also opportunity for you. Phone calls always welcome. 615-844-5600. The first two segments open for you. Trey Scott will be joining us around 435. He's the national editor, college football coverage with 24/7 Sports. At 505, a chance to talk week 15 of the NFL. Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. At 5:35, Eric Bacharach, the Titans beat writer with the Tennessean. And then just after 6, Steve Eubanks, best-selling author, 30-plus books to his credit, veteran sports columnist with GlobalGolfPost.com. We'll talk President's Cup, but also one of the reasons why I wanted to have him on, he had a book a few years back called All-American. And basically he took and followed the life of a football player from Army, a football player from Navy, and then, you know, after the game, then what's in store for these individuals. And, you know, where everybody else gets the opportunity to, if you're playing college ball, you get the chance and opportunity to go to the next level. Here's individuals that are taking those next steps to make sure that we get to enjoy the freedoms. And that's why tomorrow, and I think as I get older, Jay, with this Army-Navy game, especially too in the sense that, you know, in recent years, it's, you know, Army, Navy, and even Air Force, too. I mean, this year, Navy, Air Force, they're bowling. Army usually in that situation. And it's, so you're talking about good football, for one, but at the same time, just the impact that these individuals will have moving forward in their lives.
Right. I mean, anytime you watch the Navy or Naval Academy or the Army or Air Force or even VMI, for that matter, I mean, there's just some things that just kind of hit you, and you know, that are like, wow, these guys are putting it all out there, not only on the field, but once they get out, they're going to be, you know, serving our country. And then you look at, you know, how these two teams have matched up as of late. It's been a really good ball game. No matter if one team's 3-9 or 12-0, they usually have a really good ball game, and I enjoy watching it.
And by the way, for the show, I hopped on for about 15 minutes down in Tuscaloosa, home to Alabama football. I wonder if Nick and the gang was listening. I wonder if they were listening. I wonder if they were listening down there when I was in Tuscaloosa.
They don't listen to Rat Poison.
Oh, they hear it. They just pretend.
They just don't.
or they, at least they know that the Rat Poison is out there,
right,
and then they move forward. And but, you know, some of the things I brought up here this week, you know, my disdain for the job as far as the College Football Playoff Committee. I don't like necessarily the fact that you have individuals on this committee with ties, current ties. I, you know, to me, there's enough folks out there that would love to stay busy, former coaches, whatever the case may be. And I just go back to that. I just thought that other than deciding LSU, Ohio State, Ohio State, LSU, because what else were they thinking? You know, Georgia wasn't getting in.
No.
After Georgia lost, it was really simple. Who won Oklahoma-Baylor? Oklahoma. They were number four. Clemson wasn't moving up. Clemson wasn't jumping over LSU or Ohio State. So it really came down to Ohio State or LSU, LSU, Ohio State, and which team representing the group of five was going to be playing in the New Year's Six games. And certainly with the way it was ranked going into that final poll, Memphis was ahead. Memphis took care of business. and it was Memphis. That's it. Because otherwise, you look how lazy they were. And I'll say that out there. They got lazy. You know, they didn't want their, I guess they needed, instead of mustard, Grey Poupon. Either that, they didn't want their steak and lobster to get cold. And so they said, hey, just, but then they thought, well, yeah, but we can't go ahead and just release it. No, no, we can't do that because then they think that we're not actually working. So although we know what it is, because we didn't do anything extra research or work to actually make this a legitimate final top 25, so we'll just hold it, and then during that time frame, we'll allow 2 to 3 hours of bad publicity be out there on social media, and that's a good thing for college football.
Yeah,
that's,
great idea.
That's protecting the integrity of the bowl system right there at its finest. You know, there's not one person that oversees a bowl game that would agree that the bowl system was being protected on Sunday with all the negativity was out there. So, yeah, do I have an issue? Is this a hot button for me? Absolutely. Because sometimes, you know, folks get too close to the, what we always say, too close to the forest to see the trees.
Yeah.
And that was certainly the case, once again, with the committee. But, hey. All right, so just when I get hope up there, raising my hopes about the New York Jets, Jets. At least I got the over right.
I knew you were going to say that.
I got that. I was like split last night. Look, I'm in the Jets. I got 17. I take the Jets. I get 17. And that's just like my Jets. What happens? They get beat by 21.
Oh, man. And get doubled up.
Get doubled up. Look, but it's not Sam Darnold's fault.
No.
And then, of course, the Jets have the head case and Le'Veon Bell. You know, that's...
Was he bowling this time?
I don't know what heck he was doing, but the bottom line is that doesn't fit. Adam Gase doesn't fit.
Just a lot of uncertainty up there right now.
You know, forget about, like, if you want to use gloves don't fitting references.
Oh,
I mean, for the Jets, helmet, gloves, shoulder pads, you name it, nothing fits there. I mean, and that's the fun part of being, you know, a fan of a team like the Jets, because you just become grown, you've kind of grown accustomed to what that's what they are. You know,
and who does that sound like around here if you want to talk NFL?
Talking about the Titans?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, at least the Titans fans have not suffered.
Well, no, I mean, this is only it's been 20 years since the first year here?
I mean, yeah, but, you know, 98, but they were 8-8, and they've had a lot of mediocre years, a lot of 8-8s. And everybody wants to, I keep hearing this, like, oh, when are you ever going to come around? You know, this team now is in first place. They need you out there on Sunday. So then that's on you, Titans fans. You got to show up. Why? You don't have to do anything. I hate that nonsense, by the way. I hate it. Well, they haven't earned anything. Yeah, but they won a playoff game. But it should have been a home playoff game that they were playing in. They blew it in 2016. They blew it in 2017 to host playoff games, controlling their own destiny like they do coming up this weekend. Because if you win all three, you don't even have to win three games. You beat Houston twice, you're representing the AFC South.
Yep, and you go 11-5.
But for the Titans fans, as I keep saying, you know, for those that have invested and been season ticket holders since 98, even in 97, for those that, you know, were season ticket holders when the Tennessee Oilers were playing their home games over in Memphis. So there have been folks that have been part of this that long ago, right?
Yep.
But, you know, I look at the fact that this team has blown so many opportunities to win divisions, to host playoff games, that as far as fans of the Titans, you know, you're watching, you're paying attention, you're making these owners richer. You notice, as I threw it out there, I keep saying, because of what these teams get from the TV network contracts that are out there, every cent of that roster is paid for before they sell one single ticket. I mean, and you know why? And so that's when I see a 27-plus local number, when you see the NFL numbers locally, not just for the Titans, but the other games. I mean, you're helping them. You are helping the Titans get richer. You're helping all the other 31 teams get richer. But they'll be quick to raise your ticket price now, won't they?
Very quick. That or concessions.
You don't see them ever giving money back when they go 5-27 over a 2-year time frame. You don't ever see them giving money back when they make it. you know, did I hear any announcements over the last 4 years when you basically had to have the person sitting next to you bump you to keep you awake in games because they were so boring? That did I see anybody making the announcement at the end of the game? By the way, because we played so miserably today, because we were not entertaining, we feel like we owe it to you, the Tennessee Titans fans, to give you a part of your refund back of the ticket you bought today. Have we ever heard an announcement like that? Absolutely not. You don't owe them anything.
No.
You choose when you want to go back. If ever. If not, watch on television.
They have to
give you a reason other than this nice little month stretch that they have, based on the fact how they took you for granted. I cannot stand the whole argument. You owe them. You don't owe them anything. Does your favorite player say, well, you know, I owe it to the fans to stay, but I'm not going to because I'm going to take those bigger bucks and go elsewhere? Pick your favorite team in Major League Baseball, NBA, whatever the case may be, when they leave the team that, you know, you've got their jersey, you supported them, you cheered them on when they were slumping, and then they go, well, in the best interest of my family, I'm going to have to play next 4 years at this particular team or this particular organization, whatever the case may be. First things first, you owe it to your own family. Whether or not you want to spend, I mean, worst seats, hot dogs, parking, drinks, everything else, you're talking about $400 this time of year.
Yep.
If you're not a season ticket holder, and if you're a season ticket holder, you still have to pay for your food, your beer, your soft drinks, everything else. That's up to you whether or not you want to take that time and do it that, or spend time in your comfort of your living room.
And
either way, they're getting closer and closer to that magic number that they want to get to, which is $25 billion a year in annual revenue. They're already over $16 billion a year in annual revenue, and they want to get to that $25 billion mark, thanks to you.
I don't understand why $25 billion is such a number.
Because it's just that magic number. You know, billionaires love to talk billions. You know,
25?
You don't become a billionaire if you're talking about, hey, we got $25 million in this year. That's not how you become a billionaire. And billionaires
greed,
can't.
Man.
So my thing is, if you want to watch on television on Sunday, great. Good for you. So if that's what you want to do, you don't owe anybody anything. Nonsense. Well, look, we've been playing hard for you guys. You know, you built them a stadium. Where would they be playing? Shelby Park?
Oh, my.
Over at Hadley Park, over near Tennessee State? Where would they be playing if you didn't build them their stadium?
Hale Stadium?
They took $28 million. They're supposed to have been a home stadium there at Tennessee State. And they go, oh, no. I tell you what, we'll take that money and we'll put it into the final pool to build the stadium for the Titans. And, oh, by the way, TSU, you can play, you know, your home games there, too. Yeah, that's what we'll do. And I go back to, you know, all these meetings that were happening in all these churches prior to the vote, the Say Yes NFL, where they were going around to the churches to get the ministers to say, hey, we need your help. We need your help to get your congregation to vote for this. And, oh, by the way, remember how much money these players make. And, you know, they got to tithe. They got to give their 10%. I'm not making this up, by the way.
No, I remember the church thing. I remember that.
No, but it wasn't out there publicly. These are hidden meetings being told.
Right.
No one was telling. No, these were meetings with ministers only. Nobody. This was stuff that I'm in the know of. I'm knowing about. This is why it's important for you to get that message across to your congregation, because, you know, they have to go to church somewhere. And they got to give their 10% somewhere. Why not you?
Why not?
Why not they become a proud member of your church and help us get this move through so we can build the stadium? True story.
Wow.
All right, 615-844-5600 if you'd like to be a part of the show. Hey, a week from today, bowl season kicks off. Now, I'll have no countdown to kickoff tailgate show tomorrow. But coming back next Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon, a special 3-hour bowl edition of our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. But a week from today, we got two bowl games starting things off. 39 games in all. But we have the Bahamas Bowl. We have the Frisco Bowl. But Frisco is not played in San Francisco, by the way. It's in Frisco, Texas. Her Frisco was a friend of mine, too. But Buffalo versus Charlotte, Utah State versus Kent State. To start things off next Friday, bowl season is right around the corner. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. We're still looking at this wreck here on 65 at the North Loop. It's already a tight squeeze there on 440 eastbound at the 65 split. Chute Lane at Saundersville Road. That's a wreck in Hermitage. And they're still on the scene of a wreck at Clarksville Pike at McDaniel Street that has some injuries. Celebrate New Year's at Obergatlinburg High above the city of Gatlinburg. Live music from the Band of Smokies, appetizers, treats, and champagne toast. Log on now, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
There's a chance your local Geico agent owns the same designer dog breed as you.
Wait, you own a Chihuahua too?
Half bulldog, half Chihuahua, 100% lovable? Oh yeah.
So many wrinkles, such a tiny face.
But there's a better chance your local Geico agent could help you out with auto, homeowners, renters, or condo insurance. Motorcycle, boat, or RV insurance too. They'll work hard to provide sound advice and significant savings. You don't need a chic, wrinkle-faced pup to do that. Local Geico agents. Call or visit yours today.
You know when you gotta be somewhere, it's like really urgent? You don't want to do it over the phone. Some things just can't be said with an LOL or an OMG. Some things just need to be done IRL. So you get in your Nissan Altima and drive. Feel the VC turbo engine instantly react to give you more power and efficiency so you can get where you need to go.
Eric, what are you doing here?
Like.
Huh?
Your social post. I liked it.
Oh, thank you. You know, there's a button for that, right?
I do.
The Nissan Altima, now offering the most tech-advanced engine in its class. This is tech that helps you be there. This is Nissan Intelligent Mobility. Auto Pacific Segmentation, 2020 Altima Platinum versus latest in-market competitors in the premium midsize class. Available feature. World's first production variable compression turbo engine launched by Nissan Motor Company Limited in 2018.
It's been a great season of college football, and there's no better way to top it off than by securing your tickets to Nashville's holiday tradition, the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. This is your chance to see two of the most exciting programs in the nation square off as the Mississippi State Bulldogs take on the Louisville Cardinals. The tradition continues at Nissan Stadium on Monday, December 30th at 3 p.m. Buy your tickets now to get the best seats at the best price. Tickets are on sale at MusicCityBowl.com. Brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Fright Show.
Your listeners need to know that the nicest guy at SEC Media Days is Johnny Ballpark Franks.
You've always been so kind.
It's just true. It's easy to tell the truth, Johnny.
Johnny Ballpark Franks Show.
I'm constantly amazed when I drive in. I often stay at the Omni downtown.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. And by the way, I was talking about the fact that the bowl season begins next Friday with the two games, and then looking to the Saturday, seven games, seven contests on the Saturday, if you include also the Celebration Bowl, which matches winner of the SWAC versus the winner of the MEAC, North Carolina A&T versus Alcorn State. But, you know, nine games in as of Friday and Saturday to begin things. I still look back, no offense to Alabama Birmingham, but the New Orleans Bowl, Appalachian State, 12-1. I would have loved to have seen Appalachian State, the Mountaineers, take on it doesn't have to be the best of the best of the Power Five teams. I would love to have seen them take on a Power Five team nevertheless.
Right. I mean, kind of. You know, when's the last time they actually played a big-time powerhouse? Was that Michigan back in 07?
Well, and that was before they even went this route.
Right, so. They were still FCS at the time.
Well, no, they played Tennessee and took Earlier, in the last five years.
Two or three years ago?
Yeah, I think it was 2014 or 15, whatever. It was, yeah. Bush Jones was still head coach. So
I remember that.
But when I look at Appalachian State, this is all these years, and you don't know how this plans out. But the bottom line is that the Power Five conferences out there, they want to make sure they lock up instead of taking chances year in and year out, because it's so vitally important. I mean, look, the SEC members, Vanderbilt to Alabama, they love getting that extra 40-plus million each and every year, right?
Right.
And so you want to make sure that you secure spots for hopefully 10, although this year only 9 teams from the well, 10 qualified, but Missouri was
suspended.
Was they lost their appeal as far as the bowl ban, so only 9 from the SEC. But, you want to lock yourself up to the bigger games. I understand that. You really can't, in this day and age with finances, you can't fault them for that. But at the same time, it also adds that separation between the haves and the have-nots. And the big problem is, although Appalachian State's a good team, if you're a Power 5 team and you're somewhere in the middle of the road, third, fourth best team from a Power 5 conference team, how motivated are you to play Appalachian State? And here's the thing, if you're not mentally motivated to play them, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get beat. So there's no win situation. Yeah, you're playing in a bowl game, but from a win-win standpoint, there's certainly a win-win for an Appalachian State. Not so much for one of those Power 5 conference teams. Like Penn State. Here's a Penn State team that next year should be a team that's a national contender. They were in this conversation. Look, remember, if they were down 21-0, right, to Ohio State, they come roaring back and make it a 4-point game in the third quarter. If Penn State had beaten Ohio State, Penn State would have been playing for the Big Ten title. Penn State would have won the division.
Yeah.
Over Ohio State. And so when we bring up things like that, so now Penn State, their nice reward, they're playing Memphis in the Cotton Bowl.
That's not going to be easy.
Great, you're playing in the Cotton Bowl, but if you're Penn State, how fired up? And this is a tough task for the James Franklins of the world. How motivated is your team going to be to take on Memphis? And then for Memphis, you're still smarting a little bit, knowing, and look, that just comes with the territory from these group of five teams that have success like that. I mean, you lose your head coach. There was some conversation that Mike Norvell was going to coach Memphis in the bowl game, and then everybody realized, we'll just move forward.
I was going to ask you, if you were him, would you have stayed and coached at least?
No, I think he wanted to. I don't think it was his choice.
Oh, well, yeah.
I think that choice was kind of taken away. Like, hey, thank you, Mike. Thanks for playing, but we're going to move forward, interim coach, who most likely will be our next head coach. And that's how that plays out.
I think probably for the best.
Because either way you go, I mean, Chad Morris, he leaves SMU for Arkansas, and, he gets grief, left his, players behind, and because they're now playing in a bowl game without him. But at the same time, because we have, this is not the early signing period coming up on Wednesday. It is the signing period. There's a late period now in February, but when 70% of your recruits out there are signing now, this is that time. And so if you're Florida State, it's not being fair to Florida State. If you're Memphis, it's not being fair to Memphis either, because you've got a coach that's got his, foot in the water in one pond and got a foot in the water in the other pond. And so, I always look back when Mark Richt, when he was the offensive coordinator for Florida State, he gets the head coaching job at Georgia, but, he decides they're going to let him coach the Florida State-Oklahoma game in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
This was a Florida State team that had just won the national title the year before, beating Michael Vick and Virginia Tech. And then what happens? Snoop Menace, their main wide receiver, not eligible for second semester. You got to pass the exams, and that didn't happen.
I think Coach Bowden and you talked about this.
Yeah,
before.
So you lose Snoop for the bowl game. There was no offense there for the longest period of time. It was 7-0,
mm-hmm.
And in the end, actually it was 6-0. Then Oklahoma scores another touchdown. Final score 13-2. And this was Chris Winkie, the Heisman Trophy winner for Florida State. And the offense just wasn't the same. And then again, though, you had a distracted Mark Richt, and rightfully so, getting a chance to be a head coach in the SEC at a program like Georgia that had success before winning a national title at that time in the last 20 years, and they wanted it again. And what happens? You get a coach that's kind of distracted. Wow. You know, he's doing two things at the same time and not really doing any program justice at the same time. And look, that's no fault on coaches in those situations. The problem comes with the fact that, you know, you're already halfway out the door.
Right.
I mean, that's all the speculation and all the things are like with Lane Kiffin. Remember, he was it's like, okay, you need to go.
Yeah, just get out. Just
and,
go.
And Bam, of course, you know, didn't look good. It happens. So, all right, coming up, a chance to talk about this college football landscape with some of these more interesting games outside, of course, the college football playoff games and the two semifinals. We've been visiting with him throughout the year, and he's been a jewel to be a part of the show. Trey Scott, national editor, college football coverage with 24/7 Sports. Also, don't forget, we'll talk NFL just after 5. Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline, Week 15, which got off to, Baltimore with yet another statement win as they win 42-21 over the Jets. Baltimore for real. We could be looking at a rematch of a Super Bowl earlier this decade with Baltimore-San Francisco, although a lot of things have changed for both of these franchises since then. But first things first, college football chat with Trey Scott on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Just give yourself extra time. All the major outbound routes now starting to really pick up and run slow, especially there at the South Loop, the West Loop. There's a wreck 4600 block at Packard Drive. That's going to be South Nashville involving injuries. Also, 1st and Montgomery tied up pretty good with that accident. It's starting to build 40 coming past the airport headed back out into Lebanon. Nash Painting serving families and businesses throughout Nashville and Middle Tennessee for satisfaction guaranteed interior and cabinet painting. Call Nash Painting right now, 615-85-PAINT. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Listen up, fellas. DXL is built for big and tall guys, okay? Which means they've got clothes built for style, built for comfort, and best of all, built for you. Get this. DXL spent years developing their own sizing patterns to deliver a great fit every time and every size. And with over 100 brands, DXL will have you looking great. So head to DXL.com and check out a store near you. DXL Big and Tall. Built for you at DXL.com.
Lights are twinkling, snows are falling, just like last year, fun is calling. With holiday games, the instant kind, the easiest gift there is to find. So celebrate for just a while, with holiday games that'll make you smile. Only from the Tennessee Lottery, game-changing fun, play responsibly.
Happy holidays, honey.
Ooh, what is it?
Just open it.
Is it a holiday luck instant game?
I don't know.
It sounds like... Is that a $20,000 holiday cheer game? Hold up. You didn't. No. Do I hear a Merry Money and a holiday gifts instant game? All instant games.
Do you love it?
Best presents ever!
Make every gift a little brighter with holiday instant games only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing holiday celebrating fun. Please play responsibly.
Whether you're a casual golfer or an avid golfer, let Edwin Watts Golf Shops help you fill your wish list with the season's best deals in golf. Featuring special holiday offers from Callaway. Save $10 on Callaway Chrome Soft and Chrome Soft X golf balls, now $34.99 a dozen. And the new Callaway Jaws MD5 wedge for only $159.99. And while you're there, register to win free golf balls for a year. Edwin Watts Golf Shops offers an exclusive 90-day satisfaction guarantee. Edwin Watts Golf Shops, helping golfers' holiday dreams come true since 1968.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast. For this afternoon, a 50% chance of showers, cloudy, with a high near 49. Tonight, scattered showers, cloudy, with a low around 41. And on Saturday, isolated showers before noon, mostly cloudy, with a high near 52. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Wow. Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, broadcasting out of the Goggin Coal Hall Studios. This segment brought to you by our fine friends with Lanham's AC Service. From heating and cooling issues to water heaters as well, you can count on Lanham's AC Service and Rude HVAC equipment. Lanham's AC Service, your local Rude Pro partner. Going back to the hotline, Chance Talks, some college football, bowl season, and more. Trey Scott, national editor, college football coverage with 24/7 Sports, joins us now. All right, so Trey, we got bowl season starting up on Friday of next week. We've got the national signing day less than a week away on Wednesday. And then, of course, there'll be a late signing period in February. So a lot going on over the next 10 days as far as this the start of bowl season and more. We got two bowl games on Friday of next week, seven counting the Celebration Bowl on Saturday. Let the fun and festivities begin.
It's that time of the year. You know, back in the day before the early signing period, which starts Wednesday, next Wednesday, and ends Friday, this was sort of like, I mean, as you know, this was sort of kind of dead. We would have the Heisman this weekend, get through a few of the bowl games, and then, you know, things would really pick up after Christmas. But there's no break anymore. This is, I mean, we're in the throes of signing day. This is a nuts time of the year.
I will say this. I'm looking at some of these matchups on Saturday, December 21st. Hey, by the way, I know Central Florida has three losses, but if they beat Marshall on Monday, December 23rd, does that mean Central Florida has a stake in this year's national championship? I just want to make sure there's no parades in Orlando this year. I'm just double-checking on that one.
No parades in Orlando. The three losses, kind of a disappointing season down there. And I saw Josh Heupel's, while we're on it, like, every time I saw Josh Heupel's name being floated for a job, like, at Mizzou, I was like, really? He hasn't quite maintained what they've got at Central Florida under Scott Frost, so.
Do you think they, and look, I know why they're doing it, because you have to protect yourself year in and year out, but I'll bring up an example. December 21st, the New Orleans Bowl, Appalachian State, 12-1, taking on Alabama-Birmingham, 9-4, an Alabama-Birmingham team that was not even the best team in their conference. I understand that the Power Five conferences want as many tie-ins as possible to the top echelon as far as bowl games, but I think we miss out on opportunities knowing an Appalachian State. I would have loved to have seen this year an Appalachian State take on a decent Power Five team in a bowl game.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. They were, Boise State at least gets Washington in a bowl game as far as talking top 25 group of five teams who missed the New Year's Six bowl game. I feel bad for Appalachian State in that regard. Nothing wrong with New Orleans at all, but and UAB, serviceable opponent. Bill Clark's done a really nice job, but yeah, like we couldn't have seen Appalachian State play, I don't know, Michigan or somebody with a little bit more heft to their name.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you there. What other things stood out for you as far as these bowl games got announced on Sunday?
Ooh, well, I to be honest with you, I think the playoff system and the NFL or the NFL bound players skipping bowl games, I really think it's severely hampered bowl season. I was trying to come up with my list the other day of my 10 bowl games I can't wait to watch. And I got to like 9 or 10. I was like, well, I guess I'll just go with the Camping World Bowl, Notre Dame, Iowa State. How about the Belk Bowl? So Kentucky versus Virginia Tech. And I was like, man, like, this is not what it used to be. I don't know if it's because we're so focused on the playoff. I think it is. The teams are no longer nearly as excited to play in these bowls as they used to be. Like, the Holiday Bowl used to mean something, I feel like, or, you know, the Alamo Bowl, or it's just, that was my takeaway, Johnny. It's kind of like, all right, well, these are the bowl games. Let's just get to the playoffs.
Well, I mean, maybe there's a burnout factor for you. Maybe next week, if you ask yourself that same question, maybe you look at it differently. You mentioned the Holiday Bowl. I mean, yeah, I remember, before Christmas, the Holiday Bowl and the magic of Jim McMahon, for example, and BYU. So I remember some memorable games. Also remember BYU winning a national championship, beating a mediocre Michigan team to wrap up their undefeated season. So there's those moments. But you mentioned I looked down when you said Holiday Bowl, and this year in San Diego, Iowa versus Southern Cal. That's going to be a fun game.
No, it will be. And, you know, Oklahoma State versus Texas A&M in the Texas Bowl, and Mike Gundy said Texas A&M is the best 7-5 team in college football. And I am excited about the New Year's Six games. Memphis versus Penn State could be kind of fascinating. Really great offense versus a really great defense.
That's going to be, to me, the toughest challenge of probably any coach out there, and that is James Franklin and the challenge for him and his staff to get Penn State fired up to take on Memphis. I mean, they're a good team, but you know as well as I do, you're talking about 18 to 22-year-olds, and they're going, yeah, it's Memphis. And if they take that attitude, they could be walking away with a loss at the end of the day.
Yeah, they're going to – I think it's always tough for the Power 5 team that plays the Group of 5 team in the bowl game. LSU had no issues last year, but 2 years ago Auburn did with UCF to take that team seriously. So,
well, Florida State did with Houston over the last 5 years or so. I mean, there's that is usually the norm where the team taking on that squad as far as from the Group of 5 is usually a Power 5 team that struggles.
I feel like the toughest coaching job for a non-playoff team this year is Kirby Smart. Two straight years, Georgia is in the Sugar Bowl against the Big 12 team. Baylor, Texas beat Georgia last year in the Sugar Bowl. By a touchdown, it was 28-7, and Georgia fans, SEC fans, said Georgia didn't want to be there. And that was clear. Georgia was on the brink of a playoff a few weeks earlier before Jalen Hurts worked his magic and beat him in the SEC title game. All right, so, but at least that was Texas. Baylor's not a name brand program. Do Georgia players take that?
Well, they're a name brand program, but for all the wrong reasons.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly. And does Georgia take Baylor seriously? Georgia's going to have several players sitting out the bowl game. And Kirby Smart can, I don't think, I mean, he'll be fine, but I really don't think perception wise or momentum wise can afford a second straight Sugar Bowl loss to a Big 12 team, which is team shows up not caring. So I think that's the toughest job for motivation this bowl season. It's what Kirby Smart has to do for a disappointing Georgia Bulldogs team.
Well, if the mothership and ESPN gets it wrong, so they're putting up graphics showing, in this case, Georgia taking on Baylor, and they show that Georgia beat Texas in last year's bowl game, I mean, do they change the records because ESPN said so?
Did that happen?
Yeah, it did happen.
Did they say that?
Yeah, it did happen. All that time, all that commitment, all those hours to the top four and nothing as far as hardly for the other bowl matchups. And, yeah, when they started finally in those last 30 minutes bringing some of those matchups up, they had Georgia. Last appearance, beat Texas in the Sugar Bowl last year.
Well, that wasn't the worst bowl flub of the year. I haven't totally caught the story, but I imagine that you've heard from some people about this Tennessee Music City Bowl.
I was going to get ready to get to that. I was going to go there with that. And to me, this is where I blame the College Football Playoff Committee. Because, first of all, it was almost like, well, we're lazy. We're not going to put a lot of effort into the final 25. Our effort is to, okay, is it LSU or Ohio State? And which of the Group of Five teams will be playing in the New Year's Six games? And that's it. Because if you look, I mean, honestly, Wisconsin, 3 losses, 2 to Ohio State, 1 at 38-7 loss in the regular season, another they're favored by 31 against Illinois, and they lose, and they don't drop or move or anything out of the 8th spot. And then the fact that they delayed releasing it caused all of this negativity for 3 hours on social media on Sunday. I thought the committee did a major disservice to, especially, they owe a major apology to the Music City Bowl, for example.
I agree with you. I think they got sort of lazy or sort of sloppy and started sort of throwing around these teams without any regard. Like, say what you want. Alabama at 13 is ridiculous. Like that. And maybe, Johnny, maybe that's the committee getting ahead of projecting which players are going to sit out if Alabama doesn't make a playoff game. But 13th, Alabama 13th, like, give me a break. And a lot of people are upset about Wisconsin, too. So I would hope, going forward, if the committee is so responsible for the non-playoff bowl games, then the committee takes those tasks more seriously. And if they're not going to take it seriously, and that's okay, because the most important thing is the top four, and this year the most important thing was 1 or 2. If they're not going to take it seriously, figure it out, guys, because there were way too many flubs and missteps this year.
Well, I mean, you say that the most important thing, and absolutely, but their decisions on 1 through 25 also impact the New Year's Six, so that is still their responsibility to get that right as well, because what you're doing is you're just setting that you're sending out the message that we're not really taking this totally serious outside the top four. And so because of it, it creates issues as far as, you know, how much faith as a college football fan you're placing in the hands of this committee.
Well, no question. If they don't want to take it seriously, then why should the players not sit out the bowl? I mean, yeah, it's there's so many that it kind of boils back to my main sort of I'm having a hard time finding what the games that matter outside the playoff, and I think the system has at least set me up for thinking that way. And yes, the committee absolutely needs to be a little bit more focused on top teams outside the top four next year.
I mean, for me, I'm taking it seriously only because I know I'm going to miss college football once the final seconds tick down in that national title game. And so I'm looking for opportunities to get it pumped up. I mean, even a week from tomorrow on December 21st, I mean, Boise State versus Washington, that should be a fun game. I want to see that. Yeah. So, I mean, I can pick reasons why to find a game on almost, I mean, it's easy to pick out days they're not having a bowl game compared to days they are. I mean, you starting on Friday, you can throw in Sunday the 22nd, Christmas Day the 25th, December 29th on that Sunday, and that's basically it until January 5th. Everything else, there's a bowl game every day, at least one.
No, I am excited. I'm not being a Scrooge. I am excited about it. There's maybe not as much flash or, you know, knowing that some of these teams might not care as much or some of these players might sit out sort of hampers me. But, like, honestly, yeah, like Boise State, Washington, probably the best of the early games. SMU, Florida Atlantic, like Shane Buechele and that passing attack versus Lane Kiffin's old team. We mentioned it earlier, Appalachian State, UAB. I think there's plenty of good games here. And the fun thing about the bowl games are there's always a few breakout players on each team that we didn't really see coming and guys who have their own moment on national television that otherwise wouldn't get it. And then we sort of get excited about them for next year too.
Is that a problem though, that you're bringing up? I mean, you're talking about you not wanting to be Scrooge, but if the casual college football fan has the attitude with regards to, well, I'm having a tough time putting together top 10 must see, is that a problem for college football moving forward?
I think so. And I don't know how college football fixes that because they've prioritized, so in 6 years, if we go to an 8-team playoff, like what happens to the bowls then? Like the bowls matter even less. There's even less important bowls. The thing about the playoff was that it was supposed to be this marriage of playoff and saving the bowl system. And
right.
It did with the New Year's Six Bowl. And then all of a sudden this, not a loophole, but the players start to figure out, like, they don't want to play in the non-playoff games. And it took a Jalen Smith freak injury in the Fiesta Bowl to do that. And we've seen star after star, Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette got a lot of heat for it, like, 4 years ago. Time flies. But ever since then, it was very clear. If Alabama had made a New Year's Six Bowl, none of those 2017 kids, the juniors, we're going to play. So I don't know how college football fixes that.
I have an idea, and you tell me how crazy I am. Forget about, you know, do your top four and make sure there's at least one team from a group of five playing in the New Year's Six and all that. But instead of these bowl tie-ins, let an independent committee match these teams up. Create better, I mean, seriously, Birmingham Bowl. Why is Cincinnati playing Boston College in Birmingham, Alabama, the day after New Year's Day, in January 2nd? I mean, how many folks in Birmingham, Alabama, and I understand Birmingham, every week you can look at TV ratings, and if for college football, no city watches more college football, you know, as far as percentage-wise, than Birmingham, Alabama. But are you testing them when you put a Cincinnati versus Boston College in the Birmingham Bowl this year?
You're testing their faith, Johnny. You're really making it tough for them to want to watch their football. Yeah, like that would be cool. And I think when you find the best bowls, you really do go with matchups. And I saw it didn't happen, but a lot of people were saying, wouldn't it be cool if North Carolina played Texas? Of course, Mac Brown versus old team. Like those are the types of matchups that could be manipulated by a bowl committee. And you do see that in the NCAA tournament. The Selection Sunday guys like to say they don't do it, but they do do it. They matched up, you know, coach versus former protege and all that stuff. So I think that would be a great idea.
Well, I mean, I'll give you another example. I just picked one out here. You in the Red Box Bowl in Santa Clara, California, and I love the Red Box. You've got a 6-6 Illinois team taking on a 7-5 Cal team. Why not take Illinois, match them up against a team from the MAC, take California, match them up with a team from the Mountain West?
A little regional. Yeah, I like that.
I mean, so there's ways. So if you really want to, I mean, I hear the talk. I hear, you know, I can see the lips moving, but I don't really, I'm not buying things, the words that are coming out. It's almost like you're watching a Kung Fu movie, and it's like, I don't think they said what that just came out of their mouths. I don't think that that's how those words translate. But if you're really serious about improving the bowl games and these, you know, have better matchups from a college football fan standpoint.
No question. Bowl season is all about matchups, and that's kind of why I put the Belk Bowl in my like 10 bowls that I would want to watch, because
that's going to be fun. I mean, Virginia Tech was a team that should have been playing Clemson in the ACC title game. A Kentucky team with Lynn Bowden and what he has done in the second half of the season for Kentucky after moving to the quarterback slot. That's going to be actually a fun game to watch. The Belk Bowl is.
Yeah, against Bud Foster. I'm assuming Bud Foster's coaching in the bowl game in his last game. So yeah, those are the fun matchups that I think, you know, could be pretty interesting.
Florida State versus Herm Edwards and Arizona State. I like that. I like those two teams going up against each other. That's fun for me. So I'm good with that. Even fun for me now that Mike Norvell is the head coach compared to the last 2 years. I'll just say that too as well.
Yeah, and it's not like Mike Norvell will coach this game, but he was Arizona State's offensive coordinator for a few seasons. So you got a matchup there. There are gems here.
All right, I have a challenge for you as the national editor for college football coverage with 24/7 Sports, because I'm sure there's somebody that you can reach to that covers college football underneath you. It's like, okay, I got a great story idea. All right, you're the new bowl czar. All right, so outside the college football playoff, let's redo these matchups, starting with the Bahamas Bowl on Friday, December 20th. Have a go at it and take at it as far as matchups to make it more interesting for the college football fan, and go. Let's see what they do.
Me? Well,
no, I would not, because you don't have time for that. No, I want you to.
Oh, no.
I would love for you to assign somebody, part of your staff there, to take on that challenge.
I like it. The Bahamas Bowl, just because you asked, I would probably let two sad Midwest teams with horrible weather get out of their region for a little bit. And they got one right.
Well, you got Buffalo, yeah. Buffalo's like not going to know what to do with themselves playing in the Bahamas.
I'll go Buffalo and Central Michigan. Let them have some fun. Let them see some sunshine.
I like that. Get a little sun there. They come back. Everybody else has pale skin. And everybody else that played or made the trip with Buffalo – and one of those MAC teams, they'll have the nice suntan working for them.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, you know, you make Miami. You had a disappointing season. You get to play Louisiana Tech in Shreveport.
Oh, come on. Everybody's dogging. You know, you're not going to be up for ambassador of Shreveport with talk like that. You realize.
No, I know, and I thought about it before I said it. But I made it's not the bowl game Miami fans are used to. It's
We need a new ambassador for Shreveport, Louisiana. Who are the candidates? Well, I know who's not. That Trey Scott dude, he's not going to be good for us. Forget about it. Check him off the list.
Yeah, no, I count me out. And probably don't have me as Detroit either, because looking at the Quick Lane Bowl is Pittsburgh versus Eastern Michigan. Like, that's another one. Eastern Michigan makes a bowl game, and your reward is, like, I don't know how far Eastern Michigan is from Detroit, but like, they should be able to get out of it.
It's in the same state, so that's close enough, right?
Yeah, they should be able to get out of state.
Hey, before we let you go, I know I hear the calm in your voice. That's like the calm before the storm, because National Signing Day Wednesday, bowl season starts a week from today. Let our listeners know again what they can expect as far as college football coverage when they go to 24/7 Sports.
So this week we've got a 24/7 Sports Signing Day show on Wednesday, based out of CBS Studios in Fort Lauderdale. It'll be Barton Simmons, Brady Quinn. It starts at 9 a.m. Eastern. You can watch it on CBS Sports HQ. So that's kind of our big tentpole event this week, the 24/7 Sports Signing Day Show.
I hear that Barton Simmons is a real cool guy.
He's a cool dude. I'm excited to spend a week with him in Florida. And he's a cool customer. He doesn't need to do much prep where he kind of rolls out of bed and is ready to talk college football.
You know those Yale grads? You know how they are.
Yeah, so smart.
Hey, we appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, see ya.
Thank you now. Trey Scott joining us, national editor, college football coverage with 24/7 Sports. Don't forget, coming up at the top of the hour, Alan Bell to talk week 15 of the NFL. He is with CBS Sportsline. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's still very heavy out here on the South Loop, the West Loop, trying to move this wreck on 65 southbound near Harding Place. It's already heavy enough now on 65 back down into Brentwood, Franklin. Bell Road at Mountain View, that's a crash that just occurred a few minutes ago. A wreck there at 40 westbound near 28th Avenue. Ewing Drive at Dickerson Pike was tying up traffic in East Nashville. If you're looking for holiday cash, Choice Cash has a way to borrow up to $10,000. Call now 1-800-658-9816. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
The final lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
Joey Logano tested a 2021 NASCAR development car at ISM Raceway at Phoenix this week. And up until Monday, we really haven't seen the car on the racetrack. Joey drove a black generic stock car, meaning it had no manufacturer sponsorship markings on it. It did have some red accent lines to kind of showcase the detail of the car. Just looking at the car myself, it seems more symmetrical and not that skewed, even crab-walking aerodynamic shape that we've become used to. There was a new set of wheels on the car, which we haven't seen before, and Joey said they are wider for more mechanical grip. Bigger brakes, as Joey said. This thing stops incredible, as he said, quote. Joey also stated that the car will be more durable, meaning it'll bounce off the walls like the Xfinity Series cars. To me, it sounded a bit different listening to the audio, but that may be due to the dual tailpipes out either side of the car instead of just one side of the car. And they did test the car with a giant spoiler on the back, you know, kind of like Lightning McQueen, the one we've seen this past season, as well as one so short that Joey called it a wicker, barely even noticeable, but he did say it would probably be more fun to drive. Logano posted the video of the car, giving us a tour and his first impressions. So keep in mind, we're over a year away before we see any finishing touches on this thing, and eventually racing in 2021. Check out Joey's full video at facebook.com/thefinallap.
Thefinallap.com.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, the ghost is back. This house is protected through Progressive, but that doesn't mean it's not haunted. How else would you explain that radiator-like clanking sound? Or the moon-colored light in the hallway that's gone by morning? Maybe he never bundled home and auto, and he's doomed to suffer an eternity without the savings.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
What was that wind-like sound? Oh, right, the wind.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Want to know the sneaky way to give the perfect gift this holiday season? Just tiptoe into your loved one's closets and look at their shoe sizes. Then head to Skechers and make this holiday the most comfortable ever. Because at Skechers, we have ultra-comfy, ultra-affordable shoes you can buy everybody you know. Let's start with the kids. We have stretch fit, shoes that light up, and many more. And how about for mom, dad, and even the grandparents? We've got boots, sneakers, slip-ons, and so much more. Find Skechers at Skechers.com, at a Skechers store near you, or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Once again, this segment being brought to you by Lanham's AC Service. Whether having heating concerns during these cold winter months or looking to cool off during the hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee better equipped to serve your needs then Latham's AC Service, your local Rude Pro partner. From heating and cooling issues, they even do water heaters. You can count on Latham's AC Service and Rude HVAC equipment with a system that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. They've been serving the area for over 30 years. Owner Brian Eskew and his team dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business while providing reliable and honest service for Nashville and Middle Tennessee. And plus, here's the thing, too. They do it with the name brands like Rude you've come to trust. I should know. I should have a new Rude unit in my house. And plus, the best part, too, I've been a loyal customer of Latham's AC Service now for almost a decade. Remember, too, financing is available, and they service and repair all brands. So call today. Let them know your friends here at Nashville Sports Radio sent you. So call to schedule a service or even a preventive maintenance call as well. 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065. Or go to LanhamsACService.com. Coming up in hour number two, Alan Bell with CBS Sports Line to talk about week 15 of the NFL. Got started last night with a huge win for Baltimore over the Jets. Also at 5:35, Eric Bacharach, the Titans beat writer with the Tennessean, to talk about the importance of what Sunday means for the Titans against Houston. And then at 6:05, best-selling author, veteran sports columnist Steve Eubanks as well. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.